but not very many New Year's Day services. And by the way, if I were pastor, I like New Year's Eve services, but if I were our pastor, I wouldn't have scheduled it last night because the saints just can't handle all that. And here we are this morning. Apparently we have handled last night. And we are a unique group that no one else on the planet Earth can join or be like. We have the opportunity to be the only people on the planet Earth that attended services at Berean Baptist Church every Sunday this year. We're it. No one else can join us. And if next year, this time of the year, if someone asked for a show of hands, how many made it? Probably most of us wouldn't. But we can try. We can try. I know during that COVID mess, I didn't miss services, but boy, I missed services. And we do from time to time need to pray for our pastor. I was honored that he would, I always want to say call, but he doesn't call, he texts. And asked me to speak today, and I was of course honored. But we need to change the way we have prayed for our young pastor, Brother Abels, and his wife. Because our young pastor ain't. He's moving into a different phase of life. He's our mature pastor, Abels, and his wife. And we need to pray for things like their health and strength. See, in my daily prayers, I regularly, for me, pray, God, give me the strength to do what I need to do today. Now, I used to didn't pray that. Because Lord caused me to use my strength right, but I had plenty. Now, I need prayer. I need God to help me with daily things. And guess what? If you're 50, by the time you're 60, you won't be the same. And by the time you're 65, you will really not be the same. And it doesn't then taper off. Let me tell you, it does not taper off. But God's good anyhow. He's brought us all new things this past year. First Kings chapter 18. I know this is one of our pastor's favorite accounts. I will paint it with a broader brush than he does today, so I'm not into his territory. I'm just going to preach on one thing. And it's something that Tammy's song alluded to. And something that Melvin Williams got tried this year. And that's the problem of distrust. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about God. Do we really trust Him? Too often the reason we don't do the will of God is simply because we don't trust God's will in our lives. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. I'll refer to a whole lot of this chapter, but we'll just start there. You know the thing with Elijah and the prophets of Baal? And Elijah was not in the popular circle. The prophets of Baal were. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, Now, who did he come to? He came to the children of Israel, God's chosen people. He came to those who had traveled through the wilderness, who had crossed the Jordan River, who had seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle. And he came to them and asked them this question. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Wow. Elijah had reason to wonder this, but he didn't. Other people had lesser reasons than Elijah to wonder who was really in control. And they did. Murphy's Law states, every solution brings new problems. And it must have seemed that way to Elijah. I heard an old preacher one day say he quit trying to solve problems because when he did, he'd get more that he wasn't used to. So he just accepted the ones he had. Elijah had watched the brook run dry in drought. He had seen God keep a barrel of meal and oil, providing food without diminishing for himself and for a widow and her son. Then he watched the son die unexpectedly, and Elijah became the target of the widow's anger and grief. Another complicating factor was that none of this, the drought nor the death, were due to Elijah's doing anything wrong. It's hard enough to accept problems when they're our fault. It's another thing altogether to do right and still suffer because others are doing wrong. But it happens. And it's happening here in this text with a supposedly religious crowd of people who can't make up their mind as to whether God is Jehovah or Baal. Because of inconsistency, they were paralyzed into inactivity. And which response was, it revealed distrust on their part, whether they did it because they didn't really know or care, or because they knew but they were afraid to show it. Why? Because they didn't trust God as able. Didn't trust that God was able. I want to look at the sequence of events adding up to this. First, in chapter 18, verse 1, we see the king's command. Verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Now, there had been another command. This was the second one. 3 years earlier, Elijah had been sent by God to tell Ahab of a coming drought. Now, he sent to the king who got angry over the drought, who's looking for him high and low. And he said, go see him again. Sometimes there are folks we just don't really want to see. I mean, just face it, you know. And I think probably Ahab was way up high on Elijah's list of never minds. But what does he do? What God told him. He just simply went. And on his way, he met a compromiser. Let me tell you, when you're faced with a struggle, it seems like there's always a compromiser there in your way. Notice verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and to all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. That would be scary. Because the best detectives in the land couldn't find him. I doubt they were really scrutinizing widows' houses, especially poor widows, you know. They were probably looking under in known enemies of the king and all of this stuff. God knew where to put him. God knew how to take care of him. But, Obadiah says, But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? He says, come on, I've been doing good. Give me a break here. I've been doing good. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now Obadiah was a believer, struggling to do right, yet wanting to please Ahab. Now folks, it's real hard sometimes to try to do right and then try to please the devil at the same time. The devil is not pleased when you do right. As a matter of fact, he will set you up to do wrong, rather than just leave you alone and let you do right. I wonder how many of us, when faced with an Ahab in our lives, and they may not be the king of the land, they just may be a boss that hates God. They may be a neighbor, grouchy old neighbor that hates God. Maybe a sweet neighbor that hates God. And there can they, you know, God haters can be sweet sometimes, as long as you don't get God in their face. That usually changes them. Or it can be, well, you know my daddy's not saved, and I sure love him. But if I talk to him about God, he may get mad. That's hard. Or, I don't even know if my wife is saved or not. I never could figure that out, but there are a lot of people who live with someone and they don't know their spiritual standing with God. They're not living too much for Jesus if that can go on year after year. But it's true. It's just the situation of people. Well, I don't want to cause disharmony in my marriage. Well, that sounds noble, doesn't it? But bless your heart. What if they go to hell? That's what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with someone who likes blue and you like red. We're talking about someone who is either going to spend eternity in a devil's lake of fire or the portals of glory with God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's an important decision. Here, Obadiah wanted to do what was right, but he wanted to please Ahab. Folks, sometimes we just got to make up our mind, do we trust the Lord enough to follow Him, or are we going to try to please the world? That was the problem here with Obadiah. He was compromising, serving Ahab. If you notice that portion of Scripture I read there, verses 3 through 16, the word Lord was used in a whole lot of different ways. There's one Lord and God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means Master. Now, I understand we use that word in other phrases like landlord and like this, you know, even in our vernacular. And in their day, they used it as a term of respect like mister or something like that oftentimes. But let me tell you something. When we make someone master of our life, we need to let them be master of our lives. Amen. We need to let them be Lord. What caused this distrust? Why were the masses not trusting God? They knew of His miracles. History was taught. It hadn't been completely rewritten yet. Kind of like in our society, they're rewriting history as fast as they can. But we still know the truth. This nation was founded upon godly principles, and it has been blessed by the hand of God like no other nation on the earth. And we need to turn our hearts and our lives and our country back to God in a humble, obedient manner. But what was the cause here? Same thing in their day. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. There was a psychological cause. Ahab and Jezebel were Baal worshipers, unapologetically. The prominent prophets were Baal worshipers. And the true prophets were in hiding. Today, let me ask you, who gets the air time? I want to say Printer's Ink, but nobody knows what that is anymore. Who gets airtime? Is it the liberals and the God-haters? Or is it those who want to stand for the Constitution and love God? Who gets the media? Theological cause. There was no clarion. There was no call to serve Jehovah. His true prophets were hiding out. There was no one standing on the street corners and the housetops declaring the day of the Lord. It wasn't happening. And in our country, I'm thankful for lighthouses like Berean Baptist Church. I am thankful to be a part of this church. And I'm thankful that I know of several others scattered around over the nation. Some mighty witnesses, some good witnesses. But there should be a whole lot more. And we see more and more of the lowering of the standards and the lowering of the message to appease those who don't trust the God, Lord Jehovah. And folks, we need more of it. We need not more of the distrust and lowering of standards. We need more of those who will stand and shout loud and clear the truths of the Word of God. Compromising on little things matter. If you're going to question, is the Bible really the Word of God? You better be careful. Because if the Bible's not the Word of God, then is the church really what God wants to use to please Him and where we're supposed to serve Him? And if the church isn't where we're supposed to serve Him, that opens the floodgates of all kind of weirdness in the name of God. Now, I know we ought to be witnesses, and I know we ought to take our stand for God everywhere, even in our businesses. But whenever people begin to push God as Jehovah in their business and then they're crooks, that bothers me. Now, I had a buddy that had a tire shop. And bless his heart, he was real. You go in there, he had Christian radio on all the time. He said things like, God bless you, brother, even if you didn't know you were a preacher. And he loved the Lord. He had been an old drunk who got saved and gave his life to Jesus, gave his business to Jesus, gave his testimony to God, and was serving the Lord. That's different. We need to be careful about halting between two opinions. You see, people are what they believe, and they believe what they hear. If you watch the news, that's your business. I gave it up a long time ago. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. And that was getting tougher and tougher and tougher. Now, I understand we need to be aware of what's going on, but we can do that. If you pick up the news or read the headlines on your internet or even watch 10 minutes of the news every few weeks, you get that the gist is the same. It's going the same way. We need to preach the Word, since faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we need. We're not responsible to make everyone believe. We are responsible to make it possible for everyone to believe. We are the clarions. You say, well, isn't that the preacher's job? Yes, but it's not just his job. We, as the people, the members of this church, need to stand behind our pastor, encourage our pastor, and then repeat our pastor as far as the message of the Word of God. We do. So Elijah gives them a challenge. And Elijah, verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Here's the conditions in verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. He wasn't right there, but that's how he felt. And he was still willing to stand. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. And that was true there. He was the only prophet there, and there were these 450 prophets of Baal there. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people said, it is well spoken. Now see, I like the innuendos here. Who had furnished the bulls? Elijah didn't have none, so he let them furnish his too. That's good. Sometimes, you know, we just need to let things happen that will come out in our favor. Now, the God that answers by fire was a big deal because Baal worship involved the God of nature. Thus, they thought it would be easy for the wood to ignite. Listen, my friend, I know we're responsible for the earth. I know we are assigned by God to watch over the animals and the earth, but this is not Mother Earth. We have Father God, and that's enough. And He is God. And we worship Him and serve Him and not nature. But they thought, no problem. Baal is the God of nature. He can surely ignite wood. But you see, Jehovah is the God of fire also. He used a pillar of fire to lead Israel. He used fire to punish arrogant would-be leaders in Leviticus 11. He wiped the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah off the face of the earth with fire and brimstone. God knows how to use fire. Too often we say, well, this is the world's the devil's bailiwick. God won't know what to do. Oh, He knows what to do. What we need to learn to do is trust Him and let Him be in control. So what happens? Verse 26. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Oh, that wasn't nice. And said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is taking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. You can stay there. Aren't you glad your God doesn't sleep? At 2 o'clock this morning, God was awake. Everyone is awake at midnight. Did you stay up? No, but I woke up when the fireworks started. But our God doesn't need to be awakened. We need to be awakened to the fact that we need our God. Amen. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. They prophesied. What does that mean? It means they were hollering and preaching and putting out their propaganda of how Baal was the God and Baal was to be worshipped. And all of this garbage that we hear continuously in the world today. Let me tell you something. Opponents of God are not ashamed of their message. We as children of God ought to wake up and proudly proclaim the message of God. How long has it been since you said when someone was putting out this propaganda of it's a woman's right, or it's they were born that way, or all of this garbage we're constantly. How long has it been since you said, that's not right? That's not what the Bible says. We need to do a little prophesying ourselves, don't we? Because I guarantee you, their gods are not going to answer them.
Amen.
Elijah said, I don't want to make it easy on me. I don't want to make it easy on my God. Do you understand God is a God of miracles?
Amen.
He is a miracle-working God today.
Amen.
There are people in our congregation this morning that are miracles of God. That's why they're here. Because God has worked miracles in them. And let me tell you, if you make it through 2023, God will probably have to do a miracle or two in you also. So he toughened the condition, verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now, is the altar in verse 26 the same as the altar of the Lord? No. Baal's altar, while they were hollering and carrying on, they looked over at the altar of God and said, get that away from us, and tore it up. The devil doesn't like God's stuff, period.
Amen.
He doesn't like the church of God. He doesn't like the people of God. He doesn't like lives dedicated to God. And he'll tear them up every chance he gets. And in your life, sometimes we put ourselves out of service because we've let the devil tear up our lives. And they need to be repaired. The Lord did not repair our old nature and make it better. He gave us a new nature. You see, the devil will tell you, once a drunk, always a drunk. Once a dope addict, always a dope addict. Once a whoremonger, always a whoremonger. Once a liar, always a liar. God gives us a new nature.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
If you're here today and you say, I can't really live for God, I can't really serve God because, man, I messed up. And I've done this, thus, and so. God knows that. And He died for you anyway. God wants to save your hell-deserved soul. Because He wants to give you a new nature. He doesn't want you like that anymore. And when the devil comes around and reminds you of what you used to be, you can say, Christian, yeah, but I'm not that anymore.
Amen.
That's in the past. God has forgiven me.
Amen.
And then the clarity of this test. The 12 barrels of water eliminated the possibility of trickery or any accidental igniting of the wood. You see, God's fire is not hindered by wet kindling. God can build a fire wherever He wants. And if we'll let Him, He'll build a fire in us. The 12 barrels of water eliminated that. Elijah prayed 63-word prayer, about 30 seconds, and we all know that the fire fell. Amen. Now see, here's where I'm going to be good to our pastor. This is where he gets in and wants to chop off the heads of the prophets. We'll leave that for him. Because you see, what we need today, we need the fire to fall. We don't need the victory over the prophets of Baal yet. First, we need to get the fire burning in us. That's our problem. To get rid of the distrust, to get rid of the discouragement, oh God, build a fire in me. Sometimes we need to be reminded that the altar needed to be rebuilt, and we need the altar to be rebuilt in us. I'm a Christian, but I've messed up, so surely God's not done, or God's done with me. That's what, you know, Peter fell to that when he went fishing. No. God can repair our altars. If God can find 12 barrels of water in a drought, He can find whatever is necessary to fix you. He can help us. But what He wants and what He's asking of you is to build a fire first in you and then us collectively to build a fire in our church. How much effort will you spend to see real revival in you? Will you repair the altar? Will you stand out for the truth? Will you take your stand for God? How much effort will you put out to see real revival at Berean Baptist Church? At our church? Will you pray? Will you encourage our pastor? Will you hold him up in your prayer? Will you pray that God will build a greater fire in him? Now you see, I don't think his kindling's wet. I think just a little spark and he'd explode on us. Yeah, I know he would. Well, let's see it. Wouldn't you like to see Brother Abel just get fired up and start preaching even harder and see souls saved? People begin to come out of the woodwork saying, I heard that there was fire going, something going on over here. You know, the world is watching this place. They really are. And when they see something happening, they respond. Would you clean your own house so your work and prayer can be blessed of God? Would you do that? Will you let God bless you? Will you put yourself in a place of blessings? Get under the spout where the blessings come out. Or are you comfortable just sitting, waiting, and letting? God don't want us to just sit and let. He wants us to take our stand, serve Him, and say, oh God, please use me as you see fit and make me willing to be what you want me to be, not what I want to be. Lord, don't use me in these conditions. Lord, just use me as you see fit. And then trust Him. Trust Him to do with you what's best for you. God help us to take serious our service for God. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we're going to have opportunity now for those who need to be saved to come and trust you as Savior. For those who are Christians to come and ask you to build a fire in them. Lord, help us to get our houses in order that they can be the kind of places where your blessings abide. Oh God, move, work in us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God's dealing with your heart, you come on. Only trust Him. Come on, say yes to God. knew what God would have you do.